Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Peace, peace. Welcome back. It is your favorite twins, Ariam
and EOD.
And you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Line Hotel, D.C.
That's right. Every Sunday here at 2 p.m. EST, your girls here talk all things music, culture, and everything under the sun.
Yep, yep.
Today, we have a special guest in the studio. We have singer-songwriter Bia Licari in the building.
Give a round of applause, please. It'll come around. Sure.
I think the sound effects are still down at the party.
Okay, well, we're actually giving her a round of applause in this physical round of applause IRL, here. Does that count?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And congratulations on your latest EP, Dead Inside.
Thank you.
It is amazing.
Thank you.
We are fans here at DeSoul. For those who haven't had the chance to listen to it, we have a snippet of her track, Rewind. Take a listen.
And away for the night, I'd like to slow down. I might follow your flow. I like how you get me in tune. Nerdy girls need a little love too. Lonely girls need a lot of hugs too. We don't talk about it. Thought you knew about it. I got my eyes on you. I know you feel it.
Again, y'all, that was Bia Licari's track Rewind from her latest EP, Dead Inside, one of our favorite songs.
Yeah, it's definitely been on repeat, on rewind.
On rewind.
On rewind, right?
Clever, Yodi. That was clever.
That was a fail. But, you know, it has been on repeat. It's definitely one of my favorite tracks on this EP. Super, super excited. So congrats on the release.
Thank you.
Of Dead Inside.
It's four songs, but very mighty. It has a lot of everything that we need right now.
Definitely, definitely.
But this is not your first EP. You've been making music for quite some time. So before we actually delve into this project, we kind of want to learn a little bit about you and your history and, you know, how long you've been making music and kind of your journey.
Yeah, so it's all of this sort of came into play really naturally. I grew up singing in choir. I was like the only brown girl in choir growing up. I sang in the Children's Chorus of Maryland for like 5 years. And music has just always been a really big part of my life without me really like acknowledging it in any other form other than going to school and then choir practice. And a lot of my like close childhood friends didn't know that I sang. And I didn't really think it was that big of a deal to be like, yeah, like I sing music or like I...
Because you're in choir.
I was just in choir, and it was just normal to me. And then I went to the middle school I went to was a magnet school, so choir was my magnet, and then I took a bunch of other classes around that. And then in high school, I sang in concert choir, and again, this was just in the midst of me taking math, science, and English, just another class for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to college, I didn't have a class for music, you know, like I was so used to singing at least 2 or 3 times a week with a group of people, learning new music, performing with the choir. And when I got to college, there was nothing. And that was literally the first time in my life where I was like, man, I kind of miss that. And somehow it just happened that I made a friend at orientation. And you know how you like do icebreakers and everyone's like, well, tell everyone something about yourself.
Yeah, like fun fact.
Yeah, like tell us something different. And this one guy, Isaiah, shout out to Isaiah, he stood up and he was like, yeah, you know, like I write music and my goal is to write music for other people. And I was like, that's so cool. You know, I come from a place where we're given sheet music and we sing it the way it's written and we keep it moving. Like we just keep getting new pieces and we perform them and then it's kind of on to the next thing. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And I always had I was always into writing anyway. So I was like, okay, let me just, you know, get a microphone. And I had GarageBand and I just started writing songs and like recording them just for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I showed them to a couple of friends I made in school and they were like, you need to put this out. I think like the first project I put out was Amplifiers and Vampires, and literally my friend Lee, who I met at orientation also, he was going to school for engineering and he was just like, yo, you know, like we can work on this. Like I have a studio. And I was like, okay. So I just picked a bunch of D12 beats and like slowed them down, chopped them up, and was like, okay, we're going to record this. And that was Amplifiers and Vampires. Wow. And I didn't show it to anyone. I didn't tell anyone about it for a little while, actually. And then SoundCloud was just kind of starting to become a thing at that time. So I was like, okay, I'll just put this out on SoundCloud. And then slowly, slowly, that just started to keep happening. A Drop of Ether, Love Letters from Lola, and like mm-hmm. a few singles.
And the rest is history after that. Shout out to SoundCloud. So I would have never thought that it happened that organically, considering that your sound is so distinct. But mm-hmm. it kind of makes sense how, you know, just the nature of how we move in our lives and mm-hmm. how we kind of come closer and closer to our purpose and things like that. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I would have never thought that like, you never were really focusing in as an artist from jump. Like, right. It's interesting how you ended up meeting people that inspired you to kind of take the leap, because mm-hmm. this is your fifth EP.
Yeah.
And you've definitely evolved so much as an artist, but there's always been something that's been uniquely you and it's not really taught. So I find that really interesting that you've kind of acquired this sound for yourself.
Thank you.
But yeah, no, we gotta unpack.
And the fact that you started in choir, I'm actually really surprised by that, because, you know, typically when you hear people who start off singing in the church, very like soulful or much more like different stylistic mm-hmm. than you have. And hearing that is really interesting, because anybody can really be involved in that. And there's also versatility within the vocal range of a choir. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's really important to note too.
Definitely. Really cool.
But you have mentioned in the past that, you know, along with your style, you've incorporated, you know, your South Asian roots and Punjabi music with, you know, a little bit of that hip hop flair. And I feel like that's really interesting, because you don't necessarily hear that in a lot of music. How was that experience like, blending the two?
Honestly, I didn't really, like, it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. I just know what I like to hear. I grew up listening to Punjabi music, so there's a lot of heavy bass lines. There's a lot of intricacies with the instrumentation, and I always really liked that. Mm-hmm. I also have started to realize I really like big voices, so when you listen to Indian classical music, a lot of the women, they just have such powerful, resonant voices, mm-hmm. and that's something that I've always liked to hear. And so I think through this process of just experimenting with different producers and just teaching myself and just experimenting, it's come out that way. None of it was really intentional, and a lot of this just through reflection I've sort of pieced together, because people have asked me that before as well, right. But it wasn't on purpose.
Right. I mean, you know, people are influenced and intentionally, but it really works. And what I like about it is that there isn't really someone that sounds like you. Like, I can definitely feel a distinctive trait about you, whether it's like your tone, which is something that me and Yodi always notice, and then of course like the production. And now we hear that you're sharing stages with folks like No Name, like mm-hmm. Midget Jordan. You know, it's hearing that versatility and then also being able to blend. Like, what was that like experience like for you? Because their styles are very different from you, mm-hmm. but yet you can share a stage and share almost an audience, essentially.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been really hard. I think because the sound is so nebulous in a way, people can't put it in one place or another place. So when I'm like sending emails or trying to like book shows, it's like, okay, I can send you music that would fit this vibe, and then I'm just kind of like waiting to hear mm-hmm. back, you know. It's mm-hmm. It's been interesting though, because through that process I've realized that I can be in different rooms, mm-hmm. and I want to continue to be in different rooms to, you know, spread my music. Mm-hmm. But those two shows were actually really crazy because I didn't know I was going to get them, especially the Maja Jordan one. And then when I heard, I was just like, oh my God, this is so cool. Because yeah. I've been following them for
They're
years.
They're dope.
Yeah.
They're very dope. So that's interesting that you say that, because I feel like even though they're different, it still blends in mm-hmm. a way.
Oh, it definitely does. But yeah. I do feel like on the other end, there's always... You always have to make your case, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an independent artist and you don't necessarily have that powerhouse behind you, you have to really be pointed about how you place yourself mm-hmm. in the
like
space.
Like pitch yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For but sure. I like where you're the artist that you're becoming as in response to this, you know, versatility that consists in your sound. Because already, like, from a listener, I feel like when I hear you, there's, like we were talking about, we hear, you know, syncopation and some scales happening, and then your tone alone is so distinct, mm-hmm. right? But we also want to talk about that it's clear that you're a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
because your lyrics are arguably poetic. Thank and you. I think that also places you in different spaces, like the whole idea of being an opener for Rupi Kaur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that yes. like for you?
That was...
That's amazing.
That was a really amazing experience. Shout out to Rupi. She's awesome. So that show, the first show in Toronto was... I mean, that was the most amount of people that I'd ever performed for. It was at the Rose Theater in Brampton. And it was sold out. So I'm like... waiting in the valance just to go on. And I'm being introduced and... I just kind of walked on stage and said hey to everyone and just tried to talk to them as best as I could because I was freaking out. And,
I'm sure. But to be even in that space, I mean, I could imagine it could be like reassuring to you as an independent artist that you not only have talent, but like you're being celebrated for your intersectionality mm-hmm. as well.
No, for sure. I mean, I remember after that show, I was like, okay. We're on the path.
Yeah,
we're on the path.
And there are people out there that respond really positively mm-hmm. to not just what your music is, but also who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really, really dope.
And it's cool Thank because you. You are an independent artist, and you know, Rupi, she had like a very similar independent track as mm-hmm. well, like publishing wise.
For sure.
So I feel like there's parallels with you and her as mm-hmm. well. So that's really cool, like alignment for
no
you.
For sure. It was literally again like just a very organic thing that happened, and I got the email and I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is so cool. Of
yes.
course. so
as a songwriter, I know it's really important to collaborate with producers that are like-minded and agree with the direction of a song. What was that experience like working for or with J-Rob, who's also another Baltimore based producer? Mm-hmm. And even Mr. Carmack, I mean, that's crazy, like those connections right there.
So J-Rob is awesome. J-Rob, I would just pull up to J-Rob's house and he'd be like, you know what, we're going to try and make something. And that's literally how Love Bug happened. Mm. He would send me beats and for whatever reason, just at that time, none of them were like hitting me the way, like for my feeling at that time. And he would just be like, well, why don't you just come through and we can just... I'll just play around with some stuff. You tell me what you like, what you don't like, and we'll go from there. And I was like, okay. So I went over and he started playing something on the piano and I was like, okay, keep that. And then he would put the drums and he was like, okay, keep that. And then I was like, okay, I think I have a hook. So I'm going to just take this and work on it and I'm going to send it back to you. And yeah, that's how Love Bug, we made Love Bug.
Yes, then it got yeah. featured on Selection. Like,
yeah.
you know, shout out to that and shout out to you mm-hmm. for that. I feel like it's so cool. Like, Baltimore has the artists. Mm-hmm. Baltimore has the talent.
Yes.
I mean, like we were talking about before the show and we had Joy over a couple weeks ago and you guys just have something in the water. And it's cool because, you know, we're all from the DMV, but there's so many styles and sounds mm-hmm. and talent that exists. And it's people like you that we want to kind of delve in and learn more about that Baltimore, that sound and that style. So shout out to y'all and the collaborations. It seems very like organic.
No, for sure. Yeah. I don't like going into rooms with people that it's like forced, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't help me it doesn't help the creativity. It's kind of uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I try to just go with it right. as much as I can.
Okay, well, love where this conversation is going. We're going to take a quick break. We have our soul pick of the day. It's another track from Dead Inside. It's called Dreams. We'll be right back. This is Just Soul Radio. Welcome back to Dissoul Radio. It's Aryam.
And Yodit.
And we have our special guest, Bela Kari, and that track was called Dream from her latest EP, Dead Inside. We've been chatting with her, and we've been learning so much. And again, you've been saying this, but we're big fans of this EP. But we are not the only ones that are fans of this EP. BBC One Extra.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out. Premiered it internationally. This song specifically, Dream. Mm-hmm. So congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
That's an international premiere.
It is.
How do you feel?
I don't know. I'm thankful to Jams and her team. She's always showed me so much love. It's really, like, I never thought that my music would be played in the world, like in London, you know, like, and be a worldwide thing. So I'm super thankful.
Well, they clearly have good taste in music.
Yeah.
And what I really like about this song in particular, I feel like, we're obviously going to ask you mm-hmm. to unpack a little bit, but I feel like I don't even have to know what exactly you're singing about, mm-hmm. but I do feel like you've articulated the experience of what a dream is like.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Because
yeah.
it's parts of it almost appear to be like elusive, and it's like almost like you're in a trance. But I'm so glad you're here because I want to know more about this song.
Dreams. So a lot of this EP, I'm going to be honest, like I don't quite remember writing it per se.
Interesting.
It just kind of tech sent me a whole pack of beats and I was like that one, and then I played it, and I don't, when I get beats I don't play them right away. I'll like wait until I'm in my setup and when I'm ready to like listen to them properly. So I played this song and I was like, I just wrote to it. I was in like a weird sort of headspace, and I thought it was cool that the whole song is sort of a conversation, but you don't know, like I don't even know like who I was even talking to. It was just sort
of, I was gonna
of
ask,
like,
I was like, who yeah. is this person you're speaking to?
Yeah, so it just kind of came out, and I was like, I always sit on my beats and songs that I write.
It's interesting that you said that you didn't know who, because
yeah.
there's a line that we were actually going to ask you about, because you say, hey there, do I know you? I think mm-hmm. I've seen you in my dreams.
Mm-hmm. It's just more so like, I guess if I were to really think about it, it's kind of like when you see your friends a whole lot, and then there's like a time, I feel like I went through this, where there was a time period where I just didn't see anyone,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I would just see them like, in my dream. Mm. And it was kind of, I think that's probably where it came from, mm-hmm. to the point where I was like, okay, we're just going to have a whole conversation now. Mm. And we're just going to keep singing this. And then, yeah, and it just, and I didn't really like this song at all at first, because I recorded this, I want to say in June. And I had other beats that I was like writing to actively, and I didn't know if like this was one I was going to keep. But I was like, you know, this, I like this, and I want to have
it. That's interesting that you, it sounds like you're making the observation with this particular song that you could be talking about friends, because, or people that you know. Mm-hmm. Because I heard recently that you can only, when people appear in your dreams, you can only dream people that you've seen, mm-hmm. or that you know.
Yeah.
And if there's ever a figure in your dream that you can't recognize, it's because you don't, you've never seen that person before.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be somebody
like distinctly,
you know?
Like,
yeah, if there's always like a new person in your, mm-hmm. dream, it's always like a vague silhouette.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't know this person, so your subconscious is not able to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you dream of your friends and your peers because these are people you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Good to know.
Yeah,
good
no, that's trippy you asked me that. Now I'm really I don't try
yes.
And...
But sometimes, yeah. Isn't the writing process like that? I mean, I'm not a songwriter, but we speak to a lot of artists, and a lot of the times it's when we try to kind of hear their perspective on, you know, who they're referencing, even if it's not about a dream in particular, like... they have similar responses where it's like, mm-hmm. they don't even really know where it came from. It's just,
yeah.
kind of, they just kind of let the process take place and they start taking the pen and just let it go. And then it goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
So.
One thing I've been trying to do is just not think about it too hard, which is, I don't know if it's working yet, but I feel like this project has been the most feel good project in terms of putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
Out of everything I've done, I feel like this has been the most organic, and like I've taken my own time and been at my own pace for it.
Yes.
Okay.
In a
I
lot
feel like that's
ways.
When the best work comes, mm-hmm. out though, when it's not forced.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you, because you said this is a feel good, or I guess the experience of mm-hmm. making the project, but why did you title it Dead Inside? Because it seems like the polar opposite of what you,
yeah,
said.
No, I, so you have seen Etch-A-Sketch before?
Yes.
And how...
Throwback.
So it's kind of a long story, but I still have mine from when I was a kid.
Nice.
And
you can
sell
those on like eBay and get like so much
money.
No,
I know. But I'm like really attached to
mine. I know.
Mine.
I wouldn't suggest doing it, but in the event you would like some extra cash.
Yeah.
Those
and
go for a lot.
Yeah. So one day I was just sort of sitting in my room, and for whatever reason, I like took the Etch-A-Sketch and literally wrote Dead Inside on the Etch-A-Sketch. I was in a really weird headspace at the time, and I thought it was cool that when you shake an Etch-A-Sketch, it's nothing. It's mm-hmm. literally just dust. And I thought it was cool how from dust, you can literally, from something that's dead, you can literally make anything that you want.
Mm.
And that's almost freeing in a way, where there's no expectation. I can do whatever I want, draw whatever line I want on the Etch-A-Sketch, and that's what it is.
Mm.
So
it's like life after death.
Yeah, sort of. And like I don't know, I actually did this in January and drew the cover art.
Right, I was going to say, that makes so much sense.
Oh my
why
gosh,
the cover
oh
art.
Oh my God, it's finally clicking.
Yeah,
so like I
then,
drew
yeah.
the album artwork before I even recorded anything. And I was like, okay.
I just realized it is an Etch-A-Sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm so
yeah, so like
right
I drew it and then kept, just had the artwork on my phone. And then when I started getting beats, they all kind of started sounding like what I wanted them to sound
like
for
really
this project.
Cohesive.
Yeah. And I do feel like there are a lot of dead pieces of this project. But it's interesting because out of all the projects I've released, so many people have hit me up about this one, about how much they loved how it sounds.
Mm.
And it's crazy because like I couldn't really tell you where I was when I wrote certain things like I could for so many other projects. It was just like such an out-of-body experience writing all
that
of
probably
it.
Makes sense mm-hmm. why you actually recently just dropped your freestyle Out of Body.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
And I wrote both of those freestyles at the end of last year.
Mm.
And I didn't listen to them until like February.
Oh, so you put them away.
Mm-hmm. I just recorded them and like didn't listen to them for like months and months.
Yeah.
And then I drew this cover and then I was like looking on my computer and I found both of them. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do something with these. So this whole thing just sort of...
Wait, when did you drop the... I mean, when did you actually record the freestyle?
I recorded them in, like, October and December of last year.
Oh, wow.
But then they were just, like, references. Mm. And then I properly recorded them this summer. Because I was like, I want to do something with these. I don't want these to just sit.
That's so interesting that you're able to, like, as an artist, at least in this particular medium, right, like a recording artist, you're able to journal your chapters of your own life and
really
be able
weird.
To revisit it. Like, you even saying you didn't even recognize who you were, you have, like, a tangible resource to, like, look back on and be like, hey, this is where I was, even though I didn't recognize it. And for a listener, you know, we wouldn't have never known that. So it's interesting that you're sharing this right now because I think that's a really cool way to view your medium of art.
Mm-hmm.
That is so dope. I never even thought about it as like a journaling process.
Right. You know, we don't. We barely journal.
Yeah, that's really cool though. That's really cool to know. Just a random thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
But that is really, really dope. So again, you know, this project, like, this should be a reflection, like being here, us talking to you about it, and then getting all this reception. You did something right with it.
Yeah,
it's working. It is working. What should we expect from you in the future?
So I have a couple of things that I'm working on that I can't talk about just yet, but hoping to just put out more music.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of songs that I recorded that I want to put out in the spring. So. Yeah, I'm just going to keep putting stuff out and play some shows here and in Baltimore and wherever I can and just keep doing it, yeah.
Hopefully we can see some visuals because you are definitely, just based off how you broke down the cover art and the origin of the cover art, you're very creative.
Thank you.
And it would be amazing to see these visuals paired with the lyrics of these songs. I'm excited for that. I love visuals, but just even hearing you break things down, I'm looking forward to something.
Awesome. No, I think I'm excited for what's to come, and thanks so much for having me, guys. This is awesome.
Thea, thank you so much for sharing. It was definitely a pleasure chatting with you. And again, congratulations on this EP. Where can folks find it if they want to tune in?
Sure. So you can type in Bea Licari on... Instagram, Spotify, and Apple Music. It's Bea, Bea, Licari. And then Sounds Bout Right on all social media. So Sounds Bout, WRITE.
It was like cute little play on words, too. Shout out to her handle.
So yeah, shout out to your handle for sure.
Again, thank you so much. Guys, if you like what you heard, we will be back same time, same place next week. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DEUXSOL. Till next time, peace.
Ran away for the night, I'd like to slow down. I might follow your flow. I like how you get me in tune. Nerdy girls need a little love too. Lonely girls need a lot of hugs too. We don't talk about it. Thought you knew about it, hey. I got my eyes on you, I know you feel it. I've been thinking, feeling. Pour up another one, you won't believe it. I just wanna rewind time. Ah, this time enough at last. Ran away for the night, I'd like to slow down. I might follow.